Myth, episode 400 of The Critical Myth. I am John, your host, and tonight we have...
Edmund from Greenville, and what's the gift for this anniversary, Dragonglass?
This is Gary from Jacksonville. And, John, I'm still waiting for my paycheck. You know, you said it would take a while, but it's been 400 episodes. When am I going to see this podcasting money?
And this is Bronson from Australia. And when 400 shows you reach, look as good you will not. I'm having deja vu.
Can't imagine why. Because, you know, to commemorate 400 episodes, we, of course, had to have technical issues. Thanks, Google. You couldn't mess around with just YouTube, huh? You had to mess with us, too. Figures. All right. Well, geez, 400 episodes. I don't even know what to say.
I'm trying. Now, when was our first episode? What date was that?
Well, I don't remember the date, but it was okay. June of, like 2.5 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there's been a lot of shows since then. Basically, actually, I think we started almost, a month after Lost ended?
What show?
Something like that?
Yeah. What that show? Sounds about right.
I'll take your word for it. I mean, I have no idea.
So
The third season of Fringe was about to start, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, and we...
And you were taunting me, probably.
Okay, you know, I'll
Sounds
be
like
nice.
Something we do.
I'll be nice, Gary. We started this right around the time that Covert Affairs started its first season.
Jeez, what perfect timing.
And we all talked about how much we didn't like it.
Oh, don't you regret your words now.
I do. Annie had a little talking with me, and now I think we're okay. Even if she is a Cowboys fan, but that's all right.
Like to see her in that little cheerleader outfit. Anyway, we better get back to the show. Yeah, before I get distracted.
Yeah, there are advantages to these thoughts. But anyhow, 400 episodes. And of course, we've had all kinds of changes over that time period. And I just want to welcome all of our friends over at the VOG Network, who has been a big time partner for us for the last year and a half at least.
Oh, Bobby and the guys have been great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's just there's no doubt there. So yeah, it has been really good to be on the network. Certainly. And 400 episodes. Who would have guessed? That's all I can say. And the amazing thing is that I think we have easily over 100 shows that we have talked about here on the show, which is insane when you think about it. And it seems like there's just new shows cropping up all the time. We just a couple episodes had, the premiere of Helix? So, yeah, we've got new content constantly coming on down the pike, but...
Well, you know, that might be something to talk about as we run across all these new shows, and, you know, we really haven't had any long-running shows. Everything seems to pretty much die out by year 5, it seems, anymore. I mean, I can remember growing up, it wasn't uncommon to have a show run 10, 12 years, but that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, certainly the syndication market changing had a lot to do with that, I think, because now instead of going into syndication where a show can easily last for, 7 years without much of a blink, you've now got a lot of those shows going on these cable networks where once they get to year 5, it seems like the money runs out. Certainly that's the way it seems on sci-fi, which is why we're worried about shows like Haven and Being Human and so forth. But yeah, I mean, how about you, Bronstone? What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that were that I have really no patience for television networks. Wherever you go, it's all the same. It's frustrating. It's like the Pandora's box of frustration. It's the memento of frustration. The further back towards the beginning you get, the more you're just like, oh my god, what on earth is happening? Except without the cool payoff or Christopher Nolan's direction.
Well, as answers go, that's one. How about you, Edmund? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
It's one thing I've actually liked that we've brought into the podcast, and the fact that we actually do talk about some of that behind the scenes stuff and the economics. And of course, I mean, one of the things that used to be driving stuff was you'd have shows with it used to be sort of 7 years was the longest period because that was the standard contract. And even if a show became a hit and everybody, if all the actors became stars, then they usually, except for then later exceptions like Friends, wouldn't want to renegotiate the contracts and pay them the huge amounts of money they would now, the actors would now be able to command as stars. So, I mean, I think it's frustrating to some extent having these shorter runs, but at the same time, I think some of the producers are really starting to take that into account and are compressing their storylines and not making things quite so open ended. So I think it actually has been a benefit as far as storytelling and giving us these more serialized shows. And certainly this last season, I don't think anybody's really complaining that Breaking Bad only went 5 seasons because it was 5 high quality seasons. So, that often could be problematic for some of those shows that did seem to hang on a little bit too long just because they were getting the ratings. The network wanted to keep them around. So, it is nice to see some tighter storytelling going on.
Yeah, I mean, we see that happening with shows like Sleepy Hollow, which just ended up. I mean, we'll be talking about it soon enough, but it just ended up its run of the first season, and now instead of trying to have a back nine, they decided to do just a second season of 13 episodes, which tightens up the storytelling quite a bit. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're seeing more and more of shows doing that, and it's becoming more and more of on purpose, I suppose. We've had a bunch of shows over the past Lord knows how long where they get relatively short runs foisted on them by the network, like they were hoping for a longer season for a back nine or something like that. Network comes in and says, "No, you're just going to 13 or 10 or 6," and it's left to the right, the writers and all that to sort of scramble out. And sometimes what winds up happening is a much tighter story than they would have otherwise. And sometimes it winds up being a bit of a cluster. We've had two shows immediately leap to mind in the last couple of years that on networks that have leapt at that approach of let's do the cable thing, let's only go a shortened run, concentrate on getting those right, and give ourselves a nice buffer to put the next season together. And you mentioned Sleepy Hollow, the other one is one of my favorites of the past 12 months, which is naturally Hannibal, which is back soon, which I'm really excited for. Can we talk about Hannibal a bit?
Sure.
I'll be quiet.
Hannibal we'll be talking about soon enough, won't we? But that's kind of the point. I mean, we've got these shows that have these limited runs, and it really allows us to diversify the kinds of things that we're watching and that we can pay some attention to. We're not really locked into necessarily a 22 episode run of just the same thing over and over again, which is, I think, unfortunately, something that was all too common.
And nor are we locked into a September to May show schedule anymore either. So.
That's right.
Yeah, there's good content all year round, which is fun. Unless you're, trying to keep up on reviews or podcasts or whatnot, in which case, just like, I remember we used to have a break around this time of the year.
Yeah, and I know we, That's as good a time as any to bring up the fact that we have had to make some concessions, compared to 400 episodes ago, where it was a little bit easier for us to keep up with everything because we had a lot more people contributing at that point. Some people who pay attention to the website might notice that, for instance, Greg, who used to do quite a few reviews for us, has unfortunately been unable to keep up with that since pretty much the fall. For various reasons, and so we haven't had a lot of the content that he used to do. And though we did add Nadim, who has been doing a great job, again, he has kind of very specific interests, and we're going to be keeping to that. He doesn't really want to go far beyond that. And there's the typical ebb and flow of people who have more time or less time than they used to, or can only really focus on a couple shows at a time versus trying to cover every single show out there. And I include myself in that because, I used to certainly try to tackle way too much. And it's just become impossible to do that considering all the things we want to talk about. So I think it's fairly clear that we are pushing more and more content just on the show here. Versus stuff that, versus the opposite where it might be, oh, well, we're only going to, do stuff that we've covered on the website and only talk about that. So things, we've had shows like, for instance, Helix. There's no reviews for that up on the website. And that's not necessarily quote unquote intentional. It's just the way that it works. We just don't have anybody right now who has the time or the interest or combination thereof to write up reviews for that for the website. So it's being covered exclusively here on the show. And I think we're going to see more and more of that. to be perfectly honest. I think that there's certain shows that will always get reviews up on the website. I mean, for me, it's just Supernatural is going to get reviews until it goes off the air. And at the rate that it's going, that might
be a long time.
Yeah, that might be a while. Things like that. But do we need to have reviews on the website for every single show that's out there? No, we don't. We can talk about it here. And that actually frees up a little bit of time to go into shows that normally we would not.
Well, I think, John, if I can interrupt for just a second,
right,
I think that's a strength of the segment we've introduced this year, those quick hits. You know, there's something that we can't necessarily go into in ridiculous depth, but we're still either focusing on them a little bit, either on the website, or we're talking about them a little bit amongst ourselves, recording during the podcast, but it's not something we go into our normal deep discussions on.
Right. And, you know, that's what I mean. It's going to be a combination of those kinds of things where even, you know, regular in-depth discussion might be shows that we don't have any type of review on the website for. And, you know, quick hits certainly might be other shows. But, I also want to keep expanding what it is that we talk about, because I don't want it to just be whatever I would be interested in putting up on the website once upon a time. So, for instance, you know, Edmund, there's a little show that you like quite a bit coming up. I forget what it's called. The
Canadians?
Albanians.
The Mexicans?
The albinos?
Yes, the albino Mexicans. That's
all I know is it involves vodka to some extent. That's all.
Yes.
The alcoholics?
That's it, yes.
Yes, indeed. It is, of course, the Americans, and I'm very happy that FX is finally, they're expanding their trailers a little bit, so it's not just those teasers they were doing last month. So we are certainly what they've been teasing out is so far as certainly looks like the quality is going to be just as good as it was in the first season, and of course still with lots of funky 80s wigs. It really did amuse me how much of a trope that became for the fans of the show about particularly Matthew Reese's character, the husband, and all of the different disguises and wigs he wore, including ones that managed to stay on during some extremely vigorous sex. So. I'm looking forward to that quite a bit.
Spirit gum is a thing of wonder.
Yes.
I guess that's it. But yeah. So the idea, though, is that I know that some people have also felt that the show had fallen into a bit of a pattern, and certainly into I wouldn't go so far as to say a rut, because, you know, being able to cover dozens of shows a year makes it hard to be in a rut. But I do think that it's a fair criticism to say that it was becoming slightly predictable. And anything that we can do to increase the spontaneity of the show in even little ways, I think, is worthwhile doing. If only for our own sake, so that we don't start losing interest in what we're doing. So that's why one of the things that we've been doing lately, and I think it's worked really well, is that we're not going off of a set list in terms of the order that we cover things, but I'm letting whoever it is that happens to be available to record our shows, and unfortunately Bronstum has run into some scheduling difficulties, but let that dictate what it is that we talk about. So, you know, if there's a list of shows that we might be interested in covering, we're going to cover them in some unknown order as we go along. So you're never quite sure what you're going to get when you listen to the show, especially first run on VOG. You know, when it's the podcast notes, it usually gives you some idea. But, you know, it just keeps everything a little bit different, and I certainly want to have less of what I'm doing right now, which is the extended monologues. Yes, the long extended monologues that people to sleep. But yes, changes like that. So I guess, you know, just here we go, spontaneity. You know, what do you guys think would be some interesting things that we could try to do, or that you've been thought about as we've been going for 400 episodes?
Hunger Games style battles.
Okay, no problem.
Well, you know, you joke about that, but maybe an argument back and forth about a particular show or movie or something might be an interesting format change.
There you go. Okay, we'll be talking about the
monster an awful lot. I can only fight against lust so much, though. We need to introduce other topics.
Yeah, we've been meaning to tell you, Gary, that our new recurring segment is going to be Let's Convince Gary to Watch Lust. Yeah. We're going to take 5 minutes. minutes at the end of every episode. Episode, not recording. Knuckle down.
We're just going to start playing it in the background so that it's osmosis. He'll eventually have watched all of it without realizing it.
I won't worry until I start writing down code numbers. Not that I know what those are.
You will.
No. Yeah, we're just going to try and subliminally insert sort of references maybe 4 to 8 times per episode.
You've been doing that for years already. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and 16, I mean, see if we can get him to 108. I mean, commit to watching the show.
Yeah, we've probably done that 15 or 16 times now. So we probably don't need to do it again. Or was it 23? I can't be sure. All right, so on to another topic. How about you, Edmund? Anything other than talking about
Yeah, we
about
have to go back to the main topic of the show.
That's right.
I think certainly mixing things up with the order has helped, and certainly, I mean, I know I'm one of the worst offenders, certainly on things like Person of Interest, where I will just get on those rolls and sort of wind up talking about everything in the episode. And I think the more we can get more into a back and forth about them, and certainly there are a lot of shows where we are in agreement for the most part, but I do like it when we have those occasions when we disagree or somebody thinks something's great and somebody else thinks it's not so great. So having the courage of our convictions a little bit more and feeling more willing to get a little scrappy about some of this stuff.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there have been a few comments here and there about the fact that, you know, we tend to agree more and more. And part of that is that we were kind of picking shows that we all enjoyed. And that's why I think the idea of opening things up a little bit is definitely going to help. We don't have to always do the same thing over and over again, which is pretty much the point of what I'm getting at. So let's see. I think I talked to Gary about it, and Bronstom, how about you, other than maybe moving the time of the show to like the morning in the US so that you can we actually have to buy Bronstom some kind of reliable internet provider. I think that's what it comes
to.
We've been having that conversation on my end as well.
Yes. No, it's really for those who, you know, obviously this is kind of behind the scenes stuff, but, you know, okay, so Bronstom obviously has occasionally been working when we record, and that's something that's kind of out of everybody's control, and so we have tried to do some things differently in order to allow some variety on the show and to allow time for Bronstom to get involved, which is certainly something that we all want. Unfortunately, then there are the times when everything seems to be perfectly fine with the timing, and then Bronstom goes to get onto the internet, and whether it's technology or just Australia saying, no, we've decided to ban the internet today, it hasn't worked out too well on several occasions, but it's not been from a lack of desire to have Bronstom on. So it's obviously, he has been a big contributor over the last 400 episodes and hopefully into the future. But yeah, and that's one thing. But any other thoughts that you might have?
I was just going to say that if anyone knows of a good internet provider on the east coast of Australia who does unlimited download at high speeds, please leave a comment on the website. Yeah, other than I'm not sure. I enjoy the getting to discuss it. My favorite bits of the show tend to be when we just sort of get a chance to really not just nerd out, but get really really enthused about a topic. The ones that tend to I don't know, maybe drag a bit is not the best word, but the things we discussed were just like, it was good, it's okay, whatever. Just more emphasis on things where we get to be really passionate in our response, whether it's positive or negative. Like, we haven't had a bedlam or the event in a while.
You say that like it's a bad thing. Oh, jeez.
Well,
we haven't had a bedlam level event.
I don't miss having to watch those shows, but some really fun discussion came out of just picking apart why these things were so terrible.
The funny thing is that one of the reasons that I even started reviewing TV a long time ago, I mean, we're talking almost, 12, 13 years now, was because I was tired of people just bashing shows, and I wanted to emphasize the positive, because, you know, I'm the type of person that will literally find the one thing that he enjoys in a given movie and focus more on that than the, you know, enormous amounts of suck. Star Trek V might be a good example of that. I can actually enjoy watching that movie on some level. But the point that I'm trying to make, without starting that whole discussion again, is that, you know, even with all of that, there are some things out there that we just cannot abide. One of them is Bedlam. And it's amazing that we managed to come to the point where Bedlam has become for us that low point, that nadir of television that has yet to be overcome. Meanwhile, we've got, it seems like every year, every season, we have that bar at the top getting raised. I mean, for a while there, it was pretty much maintained by, you know, Firefly or Lost, and then we had, I think Breaking Bad at one point was at the top, and then we had Hannibal's first season that took the top honors, and I got to tell you right now, there's a little bit of a horse race going on between two shows. Mm-hmm. You know, Breaking Bad currently has the record, but there is a show that is literally like 0.03 of a point away from taking the lead. Anyone want to guess what that is?
Sherlock?
No, because we haven't graded Sherlock.
Well,
Sleep Out?
Better not be Celebrity Big Brother.
No.
Did American Idol come back and I didn't notice?
Edward, what was your guess?
Repeats of Heil Hunt. Oh, sorry.
What was that?
No Person of Interest.
Yep, Person of Interest. Yep. Which?
Not repeats of Heil Honey, I'm Home.
No, or Honey Boo Boo, or whatever that nonsense is. No, and that to me is actually impressive, because we're talking about a show that, you know, unlike what we were talking about at the beginning of this particular episode when we were talking about shows going into these shorter, more focused seasons, Person of Interest is still a good 22 to 25 episode season, and yet mm-hmm. it is, you know, halfway through, almost beating the best aggregate score that we've had for any given single season. So that's impressive in my book. Now, of course, I do think it's possible that there will be you know, that also means that there's a chance that it could have one or two bad episodes, and that's going to kind of skew it down slightly. It also we do have to account for things like Sherlock or the next season of Hannibal. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see where it all falls out. But this season so far, I gotta say, is impressive because we have more shows that are at that average 7 score or above than I think we've ever had from a pure percentage point of view. I think there, I'm gonna bring it up now because we're gonna need it when we record 401. But just looking at how many shows are 7 or below, it's literally a handful.
Well, mm-hmm. you know, you say that, and let me bust open this argument that I think most of you are way too generous with some of the shows. I mean, it seems to me like your midpoint is a 7, and I'd like to call you out on it, because I think your default is a little higher than things deserve.
Well, okay, we'll get into that. You're going up against 10 years of history, which is kind of why we went that way, or at least the way that I went that way. Mm-hmm. But of all the shows, right now, only 5 are below the 7 mark. Now, granted, one of them is all the way down at a 5, but that still is not down at the 3.7 score that Bedlam Season 1 achieved. So.
Yeah, so tell me again how I'm too easy on shows.
Yeah, right. So where did that come from? And maybe a little bit of context would help. The amazing thing is, Gary, is that I'm told constantly that I'm too harsh on shows.
What?
Because
I
get the argument constantly that I give 8s and 9s to too many shows that deserve higher scores. But okay,
I just feel like I'm often the lone voice that drops down.
Well, no, okay. Let me just throw an example out there. We've got a show like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Now you might say to yourself, okay, yeah, we're pretty generous about that. All of us are within a 0.2 spread of each other. So you and Bronstum are both at a 7.6. Bronstum, who has been probably one of the most favorable people regarding Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So 7.6, where Edmund and I are both at a 7.8. So there's an example right there. Almost human, yeah, you're slightly lower than Bronstum and I are. So there's that one. Let's see. If we go back to last season, being human US, I had the lowest score. You had the second highest. So what seems to happen, and wow, this is surprising, there's the show called Covert Affairs where you have the highest scores for that.
You know, I just call him like I see him, John.
I am shocked. Shocked,
aren't
I say.
Though? Aren't you, though? You know, Doctor Who, Bronstum tends to skew a little high on that, but for the most part, the other three of us are pretty close. Gary, you on Elementary are in lockstep with Bronstum, who is the one who reviews it.
You know, I always thought he had a good initial.
Well, the point I'm trying to make that, yes, well, I understand that we have slightly different baselines. It seems like over the course of a season, we align. And it could just be the difference in how we look at the shows. I can just speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else. But the reason that I kind of fell in on 7.0 is that 5 just seemed a little low to me back at the beginning. Plus, I was thinking of it more along the lines of trying to come up with an equivalent of a letter grade in the numerical grade. Because there had been, you know, at the very beginning, it was not always done the same way, you know, depending on who I was hanging out with or talking to. So to me, a C is like a 7. And C is average. That's the idea. So it also was kind of coming out of the way that I had been for many years breaking down the scores for a given episode. For me, I would give, it was kind of like the objective versus the subjective. So I would look at, say, the writing of the episode. So things like just the plot elements and how the A, B, or C plots threads were woven together, or the dialogue, things of that nature. And that would have a 0 to 2. And acting would also have a 0 to 2. And direction, which would include cinematography and things of that nature, would have a 0 to 2. So a competently put together episode that didn't have any obvious flaws in any of that would be a 6. Which is kind of like your absolute lowest that you can have. Now, above that is the subjective part. And to me, you know, there's always a certain amount that you enjoy an episode. So that's one of the four potential, you know, style points or whatever you wanted to call it. That's where, you know, it added up generally to a 7. But as I've always said before, if you're between 6 and 8, it's really just an average episode with subjective plus or minus. You know, it's giving you a good range because it could be a perfectly average episode of television, but there may be something in the plot that I didn't like. That could be a 6 versus a 7. Or it's, you know, a fairly competently put together episode, but there's some plot things that I really enjoy or some character moments I enjoy that might make it raise up to an 8. So that also leaves the 9 and the 10, where the 9 was where it was obviously a superior episode. And then the 10 was reserved for those episodes that were just the shining example of that particular program or something to that degree. So that's where that all came from. And for, I would say, up until probably the season right after Lost ended, so our first year, I was still breaking down all of the scores. And in fact, Edmund, some of the your early reviews for Person of Interest were broken down in that fashion, as I recall. And for Once Upon a Time, which were always fun to watch. As his personal, his 0 to 4 points for personal preference slowly but surely degraded, precipitously or however you want to put it. That's kind of where it all came down to. So that's why 7 is average, because if I go back then and compare season to season, the only way to be consistent was to stick with a similar basis. So yeah, that's it. That's all.
Okay, well, I understand a little bit better, but
yeah. Which it's perfectly fine that what it takes to get, for you to get to the 7 is different than it does for us to get to the 7, because as I said, it would only be a problem if at the end of the day you were literally, you know, always a point or two below for exactly the same stuff. But that's not how it turns out.
True.
So yeah, as I was saying, as I go through show by show, it's extremely rare for you to have something that's lower, like dramatically lower. One show that I think is clearly that way is Walking Dead, but we have really divergent opinions on that. Bronstum is way higher than anybody else, and you're, again, within like 0.2 to 0.4 of Edmund and I. Warehouse 13, you were right on the average with everybody else. Trying to find another show that you watch. Sleepy Hollow, you like that more than anybody else does.
Hmm.
Revolution, boy, you loved that show.
It's coming back. You should have seen the latest episode. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start with that. I take back my comment about we don't have enough bad shows to make fun of on the thing. I just remembered what the main downside, or what the main upside of not having those shows on the schedule anymore is.
Yeah, well, one thing I will say is that certainly I think we've become a lot quicker to drop shows than we perhaps were at the beginning. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
there is that factor. We do tend to just hang on to them.
We stuck with the event for about half the season, and mm-hmm. we dropped Bitten after one episode.
Oh yeah, and I saw the second episode. Believe me, we are missing nothing by dropping.
We made the right call. We have chosen wisely.
I think I continued to follow that, and yes, I still wished Blair Underwood had died. But anyway,
in Bitten, what?
Yeah, yes.
No, but then we would
so
have
so pissed off about the event in Blair Underwood that he wanted him to come onto Bitten just to get killed, just so he could have that moment of closure.
Yes.
I'll take it where I can get it.
That's right.
You know, some of these shows just don't come to the ending you want them to.
But Edmund, you do make a good point that in the past, because it would be on the website, and that's where the basis for a lot of the content would be, was directly off of what was being reviewed there, I never really liked the idea of doing only certain episodes a season. Because to me, you know, that wasn't really the point. The point was to give a kind of like the full view of week after week, episode after episode, how the season was unfolding. But that's not something that we need to do here. And I find that with so much now on, and keep in mind, too, when we were talking about a lot of this stuff, we had no idea how much would be on. There wasn't really a lot out there a couple of those seasons when we first started. There were some times a year when we had maybe one or two shows to talk about.
Yeah.
But I think we even did a retro one or two. You know, we picked up, we're talking about some old series just because we were running out of content at one point.
Yeah, well, we don't need to worry about that anymore.
No.
And so, you know, why persist talking about a show if we're not really enjoying it? And to your effect, Bronstum, I completely agree that it would be foolish to get locked step in the mode of talking about a show if all we ever say is that it was an average episode. To me, that could easily switch into the quick hit mode for that particular week, where I think if we're trying to generate a little more discussion or in-depth, you know, squeeing, as the case may be, going for those shows that either have, you know, definitely were you know, knocking it out of the park or had serious issues, you know, maybe, you know, talking about the first episode of Bitten wasn't a bad idea because it allowed us to talk about a show that had flaws that we could identify and put our finger on. So that's my thought on that subject. I think that, we should be free to talk about shows, come in, try something, decide that it's not for us, or even in some cases, like with Edmund and the second season of The Americans, you know, we didn't necessarily feel the need to give time to that too much in the first season, other than during the open forum roundtable moments. But you know what? Maybe it's a show that's worthy of a little more time. And like mm-hmm. Elementary, we really didn't talk about that to the same degree that we do now. So, you know, things are going to come and go as we see interest in them. So some things may even just be potential topics that we just briefly discuss, give a score to, and move on. I don't see a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, I mean, one recent example was the way Burn Notice sort of waxed and waned, and then we were still following it enough to talk about its comeback in its final season.
Right, exactly. We dropped it completely for the penultimate season, and then wound up getting in depth week after week during the final season because it just took that leap in quality.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. That's a really good example. So yeah, this, 400 episodes in, we want to keep changing things up, but we've talked about the things that we think we could do. I'm interested in what the audience thinks we could do because, okay, if I go right now over to, let's do this spontaneously. And if I open up the mail and I go over to feedback at criticalmyth.com.
John, this part is not in my script. Could you please edit?
It's a seamless transition. Magic of podcasting.
It is. The hell is going on here? It doesn't want to let me. You may have gotten saved here. Let's see. Oh, no, let's see. Yahoo is going crazy.
Well, as we record, Google was out earlier, so.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yahoo's just following up. Oh, wait, if Google does it, then it must be good to run a blackout, so let's see. Yeah.
That's right. It's yeah, YouTube is retroactively trying to attack what I'm doing here. That's all right. At any rate, I was trying to get over to another mailbox, but it doesn't seem to be letting me do that. Oh, wait. Now maybe it'll let me do it. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Oh, wow. Yeah, we have mail from March of 2013.
Can't say we're not timed.
That's right. So, yeah. That's the last time we got some feedback, so we need to hear some stuff, people. We need to know what it is that, after 400 episodes, what do you think we need to change up? And I'll tell you right now, what I don't want to see are things like, well, we don't want this person anymore, or you need to change your cast, or something like that. Unless you're volunteering, then we'll see. But, yeah, clearly, we're not trying to change up in that respect. You know, we'll have the occasional guest, appearance from folks now and then, but we have our crew, and certainly we want to maintain that going forward. Even if it means we have to run an Ethernet cable all the way over to
across the Pacific Ocean.
Yes,
and it's going to be so much harder now because MapQuest no longer gives the kayaking directions to get.
I know. Right? I'm so bummed about that. Come on.
It obviously explains our connection problems. Yeah.
It does. Yes. Clearly, but
yeah, we had a guy at a kayak who was taking about 367 bits of data at a time.
We could always threat that if we don't start getting more feedback, we're going to start talking about Justin Bieber. But that might actually be worse for us than the audience. So
I don't know. Yeah. Unless we're talking about his non-cameo in the latest Supernatural, or the second latest Supernatural.
There you go. But yeah, that's I guess one aspect of it, and. There may be some things that we're going to do that are related to some of the changes going on with the monthly raffle and so forth over on the VOG network that we may be getting involved in that in some interesting ways, especially since we're going to be changing up our content episode to episode and doing things a little new and different. There might be some loot that might be exclusive to feedback that is given to the show, and that could roll
out.
Ooh,
loot.
Oh, that's
loot.
True.
Yes. Well, if you go to the VOGNetwork.com website, you'll know that those who participate can get loot and get into the monthly contest, because VOG is not just a website, it's also a game. So, I said that as though I were reading it off of a script, but no, Bobby did not give me a script for that. I had to make that up on my own. There you go.
But, it's a cute little concept to get you more involved and, have a little bit more fun where it's not just downloading files. And, it's worth a look over there. It's a novel idea. I haven't seen it done really anyplace else in the podcasting world. So,
I got to say, for my own part, that it's fun to keep up with the other shows on the network. And I do want to throw a little bit of a shout-out to as many as I can remember without having to go over to the website right now because I don't want to anger the Google gods. But, we have Under Sedation Live. Those guys have thrown out some some shout-outs to us. Got to say that for the Saturday Night Crew. Certainly, Bobby Black Wolf Show and Orange Lounge Radio on Sunday nights. Mainstays on my podcast feed, that's for sure. Monday nights, after us, it's British Invaders, which we've been friends with Brian and Eamon, is it? I always forget his name. Thank you. And then, of course, we've got Pod Culture. And we were just actually talking about before we started recording that we all knew some of the people, and especially Brad from over there at Pod Culture. For many years, we associated him more with Pod Culture than we did by his name. But that's just the way that it goes. But he's been, obviously he's actually one of the people that I learned about Orange Lounge Radio and then therefore became part of VOG because, we all knew each other from the podcasting scene. So that was interesting. Tuesday nights, anime jam session, Electric Sisterhood, which is a relatively new show. Lots of anime talk between those two. And of course, video games and TV. And Wednesday nights, I believe they've got Girls Got WoW and Horde House. Both about World of Warcraft and or MMOs. And so, yeah, there's a lot of shows on the VOG network. I listen to probably at least 75 to 80% of those. I'm not really into the MMOs, so sorry, guys, only occasionally when it's a topic I like. But, yeah, I just got to give a shout-out to them because they're all very much worth listening to. And certainly, I gotta say, between Bobby and Orange Lounge Radio, I've learned about games that I never would have thought I would start to play, and no, they're not responsible for Assassin's Creed.
I was wondering.
Nope. That was on me. Well, Bronze Thumb is the one who's responsible for Uncharted. And I love
it. Damn straight.
Yeah. By the way, hopefully they will do much as they did for the Assassin's Creed game from the Vita, port it over to the PS3, the Golden Abyss, because that was a fun little game.
I would really like a chance to play that.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. But at any rate, yeah, I really appreciate a lot of the friendships that I've been able to make through VOG, and really appreciate the fact that they've allowed us to go, and here we are, episode 400, once again. So any last thoughts, guys? How about you, Bronze Thumb, because I know you're going to have to bow out for the next couple shows.
Mm-hmm. What's it called? Despite having been a somewhat more infrequent member of the crew of late, it's always been a lot of fun getting to talk about TV shows with a few of my mates over the magic of the interwebs, and here's to many more shows of it. And in the meantime, Hannibal season 2, yeah, get caught up now.
We promise I'll promise I'll keep on Bronze Thumb about those reviews for the shows that he has been talking about, because there's just no replicating the passion that he puts into his fandom for certain shows. Certainly Hannibal would be.
Or I at least want explanations some of the times, because sometimes I'm like, what?
And how about you, Gary? Any last thoughts for this show?
A little bit of to echo what Bronson was saying, it's fun to sit down and talk with people about these shows that I like. Sometimes even within your own family, you like shows that other people don't, and you don't get to bounce your thoughts or your ideas or where you think the show is going off other people. And this has been a really nice forum to not only do that, but also to get exposed to shows that I might not normally have wanted to pick up or been interested in, but because I hear about the quality of them or you guys raving incessantly about it, I've gone to go to the shows. Fringe strikes me as one of those that I'm really glad that I did go and pick up, even if it was a little bit late in the going, and it was really very enjoyable to catch up and watch that. And just secondly, we haven't really mentioned it, but again, as I said, I think at our 300th show, I do thank you, John. He puts this all together for us, guys, and it's not a read-by-the-word script per se, but he helps organize us and get us in line and keep us on time for these episodes, and I give kudos to him. I know I can pull it off, and I'm so grateful that he is and does pull it off every week.
Mm-hmm, agreed very much. John does an insane amount of work, and it's always appreciated.
I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot easier when you've got people to work with on this stuff that show an equal amount of dedication and flexibility. So, there you go. Thank you guys for you know, first of all, you know, answering the call when I was like, hey, let's get a gang together here to do this show, and then sticking with it and kind of taking ownership yourselves on it, because sometimes there are things that I don't even think about that you guys bring to the table, and I think the show's been all the better for it. And on that note, Edmund, any other last thoughts now that we've gotten slightly morose?
Yeah, no, well, other than, yes, if anybody wants to donate to the Bronze Thumb ISP fund, that would certainly be, we'd certainly be grateful, because it is, I do feel the show
is really great.
Yeah, the show definitely works better when it's all of us here. So, I will just echo as well at kudos to John for helping keep us all organized. I know when I first we first got together and I first discovered the Critical Myth website and was just kind of stunned at those that early iteration when it I couldn't quite figure out how John actually watched and wrote about all of those shows. I think it's been a lot of fun bringing these new people into the mix and certainly hanging out with all of you guys for all 400 of these episodes. And yeah, and certainly in terms of the shows that you've dragged me into, of course, you know, the big one was getting me to watch Lost in what I think is actually the correct manner to do it, which is once it's finished and the way it is now, and you can sit there and just punch that Netflix button every 43 minutes. and then also, but I think it's been interesting the way Gary mentioned Fringe, and in my case, Supernatural. I mean, having these shows where some of us have watched them from the beginning and others have jumped in the middle and just picked them up that way. So you get those different perspectives. And it's just been a lot of fun. And also the way we expanded it out. I mean, once we realized that, we can do three shows a week, because we would record a show and then just keep chatting for an hour or two afterwards. Yeah. It was like, well, okay, let's just keep recording.
Well, I think one or two times John would mention at the end, oh yeah, I was recording all that.
Yeah, in general, two things that I haven't touched on, but are certainly true. You know, we unfortunately, you know, Edmund mentioned the old website, at least the first iteration, and that just reminds me that, yeah, one big reason why things got a lot more flexible is because the old website took a complete dump. Right. And it is, you know, obviously that was practically a year ago, and yeah, it never quite recovered. And so that's an enormous amount of material that would need to be replicated, and that's just never going to happen. Sad to say. But now, you know, there is a website up there now, but, you know, it's like I said, it's going to be selective what goes up there. And then the other thing is that, like you said, Edmund, I mean, we can kind of come and go as far as people coming into shows because they've heard us talking about it here. You know, the audience does that, but we ourselves do that very often. And I would say that, you know, for you, yeah, like you said, you got into Lost later on, but then like something like Supernatural. These are shows that maybe we would not have been inclined to necessarily watch had it not been for people that here, you know, in our little discussion group kind of saying, hey, you should, you know, check this out. This is something that's really, really good. So, yeah, I think that this has been, you know, an equally good opportunity for us to kind of hear from each other what it is that we consider to be worth watching. And that's really made it very enjoyable because we all get things that we can discover because we come at it from different directions. So there you go. All right. Well, enough of that.
Anyway,
thank you, everyone.
Good job, guys.
400 episodes. So thank you to the audience, because otherwise it would just be the four of us sitting talking to each other and just happening to record it and put it on the internet. If it wasn't for the fact that we knew that there were dedicated people out there listening and commenting on the reviews and commenting on the shows, that's why we do this. And we thank you profusely for the last 400 episodes and for however many, who knows how many will come in the future. Thank you, gentlemen, for all your help for this episode. And definitely, if you want to give us some comments, you can follow us on Twitter @Critical Myth, or you can go and like our page on Facebook. Again, that's Critical Myth.
You can give us feedback by visiting the website over at www.criticalmyth.com. Just check out the entries for the show and leave us a comment. If you can't find it, just go all the way up to the top of the page. There's a link there, and there's also a drop-down box for all of the shows we talk about. So please let us know what you think.
Or you can go over to the VOG Network page and go over to the forums, and we have a dedicated forum for the show. You can leave comments there for us.
You can also email your feedback to feedback@criticalmyth.com, or you can leave us a review on iTunes.
Or you can call our Google voicemail line at 908-977-MYTH. That's 908-977-6984.
And don't forget that Critical Myth's use of any and all copyright material is only intended for parody, news analysis, critique, or for educational purposes, as provided within United States Code Title 17, also known as the Fair Use Act. Please don't sue us.
And the comments and opinions of the Critical Myth podcasters and reviewers are not necessarily those of its distributors, partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. So until next time...